1819, Hernan Cortes made a decision that would echo through history. Upon landing on the shores of the New World, he faced impossible odds. Outnumbered and surrounded by uncertainty, he gave an audacious order: burn the ships. With no way to retreat, his men had one choice: fight to succeed or die trying. And they did succeed. Cortes' story isn't just about conquest, it's about commitment. It's about making bold decisions, eliminating excuses, and going all in on your vision. Welcome to Burning the Ships, the podcast where we explore what it means to take risks, push boundaries, and refuse to look back. I'm Jason Seward, your host. In each episode, we'll share stories, strategies, and insights to help you tackle your challenges head on. Overcome obstacles and make your own history. This is Burning the Ships. Let's get started. Welcome to Burning the Ships Weekly Ramble, and I'm your host, Jason Seward. And today I'm going to get into a fun topic for me to talk about. I love talking about it with other fathers and mothers that have children of my age, as we all are just trying to figure this thing out called parenting as we move along through life. And we're all getting it wrong and we're all getting it right in some ways. And but at the end of the day, we're all trying, right? And I'm no different than that. My wife, Katie, no different than that. But I'm going to share my thoughts on a couple ways, a couple strategies that, you know, we have kind of leaned into to help our kids be more independent, more resourceful, good problem solvers, resilient, kind, generous, thankful, grateful, all those things. So I'll kind of make this quick because I'm going to go through all these topics pretty quickly. But before I get started, speaking of kids, I'll start with my son, JJ, his joke of the week. JJ's joke of the week. This is one I've heard him tell a million times, so it's not a new one to me. But how do you make a tissue dance? You put a little boogie in it. And that's JJ's joke of the week. So it is very, very top of mind constantly for me, the importance of, or the responsibility I have as a parent, to do everything in my control to produce good human beings as my children, right? Because those children are going to eventually grow up and be adults. They're going to have relationships. They're going to have friendships. They're going to go through tough times. They're going to have jobs or lead companies themselves. They're going to play sports. They're going to do all these things that are going to test like core fundamental values that are now being made as their young children. So it's my responsibility to, like, I can't make my children be anything other than what they're going to be at the end of the day, right? They have their own DNA, they have their own brains, but at their ages, my kids are 13 and 8, I can play a big role and have a big influence on a lot of those things, right? Number one, the number one thing that I have to focus on, and my wife and I are on the same page with this, but the number one way I can teach them on how to live an independent lifestyle and how to be kind and all these other things that I just listed is by showing them how to do it through my own actions, right? So if I'm driving down the road and screaming at everybody in traffic, cussing them out, if I'm getting mad at my wife every time and we're just fighting all the time and screaming, if I'm real rude to my employees or people that I'm doing business with around them, then they're going to pick up on all that. And inherently, you know, I'm their biggest role model, one of them, between me and my wife. They're going to mirror that behavior, or it's going to be such bad behavior, they're going to resent me for it. And then we're going to have some bad relationship, issues down the road. So I'm always aware of how I conduct my own behavior. Naturally, I am, not 100% with any of this, but I treat people kindly. I smile. I Try to bring really positive energy to every situation, every room, everything I'm a part of. I try to bring positivity. I try to bring fun. I don't think anything's so serious that you can't find a laugh in it. I remember being in high school. We had this this lady in our neighborhood and or in our county, Marion Souter. She's since passed away, but at the time she was probably 90 years old. And my buddy Jake Mintz and I don't know why, but I think we were doing some yard work for her or something. But we stopped by her house one day and we were sitting inside or on her porch talking to her, and we were just laughing. She was making a bunch of jokes, and I think I made, or Jake might have made, the comment of like, "Miss Souter, you're always funny. Like, where does that come from?" And you know, we were genuinely curious about that. And she said that, now she, at the time, this was 25 years ago, so she was 90 at the time, or you know, upper 80s. But so she said, all the way back to when she was a kid, her parents drilled in her that there's nothing too serious in life that you can't laugh your way through. You can't find a way to smile. And she made the comment about how over the years she has inappropriately found things to laugh at funerals, right? That's not obviously a situation that has a lot of humor, but her point was always trying to find in any situation positivity and find a smile, because a smile has a way of curing a lot of things. So my point there, when it comes to my kids, I want them to have that same mindset, right? They can have a big impact on individuals, on themselves, on the world, if they just carry themselves with a positive energy and a smile. So I try to model that for them. My wife, same way. She's a second grade teacher. She's just, I mean, just has the most motherly, loving energy of anybody you'll find. Now we joke when she does have a bit like her serious face, she always looks mad. So we, for those that might know, but that's the RBF, the resting, you know what face. But so she has a bit of that. My daughter definitely has a lot of that. But at the end of the day, how we conduct ourselves in public and around people, and even at our houses, I mean, we're always goofing off, and playful, and that's how I want them to be. So I model that for them. We show them that this is how we are, and they're following suit. They're the same way. Both of my kids are little comedians when they want to be, and that can be a little much sometimes, but that's very important for us to just take life in stride with humor as much as you can. The other thing is, like, we want our kids to be independent and be independent thinkers. Now, this can go too far in some cases, right? Some people have this strong independent mindset where under no circumstances, they kind of have this almost this reputation within themselves and to others that they don't ever need help, right? They can figure everything out on their own. So when I unpack that a little bit, yes, I want my kids to have that mentality that there's no circumstance that they can't get through. But part of getting through a lot of circumstances or situations is being resourceful enough to ask for help, right? To know, to be aware that, okay, maybe I don't know how to change this tire, which I want both of my kids to know how to change a tire, but I'm just using that as an easy example. I don't know how to do it. I've got this thing in my hand, which is a phone that has YouTube on it. Let me look up on YouTube and see if I can do it. Or, hey, I've got a flat tire on the side of the road. There's a somebody in his yard cutting grass. I have the confidence to walk up to that person and ask them if they mind helping me, or can I use their phone to call somebody or whatever. But independently, the independence piece of it is more so confidence that they can figure out any situation. And they don't just crumble when things get tough, right? They themselves, without having to have someone give them a pep talk, they can get through situations, good and bad. So how do we teach that to them? Number one, and this is hard as a parent. It's very hard. It's even hard as I sit here recording this to say it and do it, but we intentionally let our kids fail at things, right? We want them to understand that it's okay to fail. that we want them to be comfortable failing. We want them to be comfortable sucking at things that they try. And we also want them to be comfortable knowing that whatever it is they're failing at or sucking at, they have the ability of figuring it out, right? Again, whether it's figuring it out on their own through practice and repetitions and just repeating the same thing over and over until they get it right, or being resourceful enough to help them get through whatever the case may be. So, you know, figuring things out, failing. So what does that look like? Well, I'll give you a couple of examples. You know, these are simple things around the house you can do. But recently, my son, he's 8, but he's the size of most 5-year-olds, which I was at that age too. He's very tiny and not very strong. He'll get there. But right now, you know, big things physically are big things to him. So my wife, or my daughter, she's for several years has washed her own clothes, fold them, put them away. That's just a chore we, you know, we've had her do forever. Well, he's at an age now where he can definitely, he's been able to do that, but his challenge is loading the laundry basket up, getting it down the steps, loading everything into the wash machine, getting it to the dryer, getting it back in the laundry basket up the steps. It's big, right? Laundry basket is bigger than him. Well, recently, we know that when he loads that thing up and tries to bring it down the steps, he's going to drop it. Clothes are going to go everywhere. He's going to get frustrated. We know that's going to happen. It's so much easier for us to go up there, do that, get it down for him, and let him load the wash machine, or us just do it ourselves. But recently, we've been telling him, buddy, figure it out. You can do this. Figure it out. We don't give him any guidance. So the other day, it was about a couple weeks ago, he goes upstairs. He's mad. He's arguing with me. Dad, just it's easy for you to do it. Nope, you figure this out. It's a little challenge. We're going to let you figure it out. So when he loads that hamper, the clothes hamper up to the max, he cannot lift it. He's got to drag it across the floor. So he starts doing that, and he's spilling clothes coming down the steps. He's mad. He's trying to get me to do it. And I'm ignoring him, just letting him figure it out. And eventually, he stops. He pulls about half the clothes out of the hamper. He comes down, and it was about 2 loads worth of clothes in the hamper. He comes down, lifts it, brings it to the wash machine, loads it, starts that load, goes back, loads the clothes he threw on the floor, the other half, back into the hamper, brings it back down, sets it by the wash machine, didn't say a word to me. I was standing there watching all this. It's a very small example, but I think it's important because we do this with a lot of little things to help them build the confidence of nobody's coming to save you. You figure it out yourself. Now, there is a detail here that, you know, him being resourceful was him trying to ask me to help him. And I'm okay with that. But I'm also okay telling him no, because I want you to learn how to figure this out on your own. This is something I know without help you can figure out on your own. So he does that. Then when he did it and it was all said and done, I praised the hell out of him. Like, dude, good job. You used your brain there. That's something so simple. I know this, but I'm making it a big deal for him because he needs to know he did a big deal. He figured something out, something that he originally thought that he couldn't do. So independence comes through small, like teaching them how to fail at something and letting them work through winning it, you know, themselves. Again, how do we model this, or how do we teach them this? We let them figure it out on their own through failure, through putting them in situation, giving them tasks that might be a little too much for them, but ultimately if they think through it, they can somewhat figure it out and have some success on the back end. Number 2, we model it for them, before them. We show them that when we're faced with a challenge, right? And they get to see me with this every day in business, right? I let them hear every phone call I do when they're around. I don't walk out of the room. They hear me talking, and they hear me receive information sometimes that is not great, right? And then I've got to figure out how to work through whatever the information is. They never, ever, ever, ever see me panic. They never, ever, ever see me get so frustrated that I'm slamming my fist or throwing something or something like that with some adversity that I'm faced with. They never see it. They see me immediately start my wheel spinning of how to move on, how to figure this out, how to come up with a solution to the problem. They're learning through that. So they're learning through us letting them fail and get through stuff. They're learning through watching me. Kindness. This is a big one. We want our kids to be kind. Now, this isn't always easy because, like, you know, kindness can come in the form of we're out at a grocery store and a stranger comes by and tells JJ they like his shirt. Well, it's a stranger. He doesn't know them. His reaction sometimes might be, or he might be wearing a funny hat that somebody says, "Hey, I like your hat, buddy." Most of the time, he's going to kind of look at me and come up next to me, right? He's not even going to react to them, not thank you or anything like that. That, yes, that comes off as rude when a kid does that, but I'm okay with that. Like, because now I can have that teaching moment where when that person walks away, I say, "JJ, look, buddy, that person was being kind to you. I know I teach you not to engage with strangers and stuff like that, but you're with me, you're safe. That person was being kind. And when somebody compliments you, you can say thank you." Okay. And he'll learn. He might do the exact same thing next time, but over time, he's going to realize that the proper response and the kind response is saying thank you. Another way to teach kindness is we preach to our kids all the time that, you know, we're very open with them. There's going to be bullies in your life, people that pick on you, people that pick on your friends. You will not be that person, and you will stand up for the people that are getting picked on forever. And if that means verbally stepping in and stopping someone from picking on someone else, you do it. And I mean, we're very open with our kids that we don't want physical confrontation, but if someone is in danger, a buddy of yours is getting beat up or pushed around and you have to step in to help in that situation, you do it and you will not get in trouble for it. So that's part of kindness too, taking up for others, being a good friend, being a good human being that just doesn't stand for people getting hurt in any way. So we teach them that, again, through our own actions. If I ever see anybody in danger, ever, somebody falls down, we just, at an airport a couple weeks ago, a man stood up and the floor was wet. There was an older, larger man. Feet went out from under him and he fell hard. Like, I mean, I think for a split second he was knocked out. Well, we were in the airport, so there's hundreds of people around, right? Me and like two other people were the only ones that were like immediately ran over to him to help him. Everybody else stayed where they were, did not stop walking, were walking around him to get by, not checking. Well, my kids saw me take that action. There was not much I can do. I was just checking on the guy and he ended up being fine. But I want them to know that that is kindness. That is looking out for your fellow man, your fellow woman, your, you know, fellow humans. And that's very important to us. So I guess, you know, I could go on and on for hours for this, but ultimately it comes down to we want them to be independent. We want to show them how to be independent through putting them in situations, small situations where they can learn how to be independent and think for themselves. We want them to be kind. We want them to be generous. And we want them to be just overall good human beings that have good hearts, right? And I can go through all the strategies we do to try to instill that for them. We use sports as a big one, right? That teaches them how to be a good teammate, how to work together, how to win, how to lose, how to do all that with humility. We use sports for a lot of that. But ultimately, the number one driver for all of this is what we model for them. I want my kids to be healthy, and I don't want them to be obese and have all kinds of weight problems and health problems as they get older. I model somebody, and my wife models people that we stay healthy ourselves, and that those are the habits that we're teaching them at a young age that they can carry on into their adult life. We want them to be independent. I've already talked about that, kind, all these things, but it comes down to us modeling it for them. So that's pretty much it in a nutshell. It's a quick ramble. I just wanted to talk about, you know, my perspectives around, you know, a few things and a few ways we try to help our kids be ultimately grow into better human beings, great adults that are independent and able to work through things, be kind, and be a better asset to this world and not a liability to the world. So with that, that'll wrap up another Burning the Ships weekly ramble. We'll talk to you guys next time.
Thank you for tuning in to this episode of Burning the Ships. I want to give a special thanks to our sponsor, 608B Capital, helping real estate investors secure fast, reliable funding to fuel their boldest moves. If you're ready to take your investing to the next level, visit 608bcapital.com to learn more. If you found value in today's episode, please take a moment to rate and review the podcast. Your feedback not only helps us improve, but it also helps us reach more people who are ready to burn the ships and commit fully to their goals. And don't forget to share the episode with someone who needs that extra push to take bold action. I'll leave you with this. Burning the ships isn't just about removing the option to retreat. It's about unlocking the courage to charge forward. No matter the odds, the past is behind you and the future is yours to conquer. Thank you for listening, and I'll see you next time on Burning the Ships.